It was exactly 50 years ago today. It was Easter Sunday on April the 11th, 1971. And even though I was only 7 and a half years old, I remember that Easter Sunday morning like no other. You see, first of all, I woke up to find out that I had a brand new Bible, my own personal Bible. It wasn't a shared children's Bible that we had had as a family, but a personal Bible that I got in my Easter basket. And I used that Bible well into my adult, at least younger adult years. So that was a special Sunday, Easter Sunday, for that reason. But I also remember that Sunday because my father, who was the pastor at Thurmont United Methodist Church at that time up on North Church Street in Thurmont, had gotten word the day before that there were probably going to be, or perhaps going to be, some special visitors, celebrity status visitors attending church. And of course, the next morning, my mom got the phone call that indeed they were coming, and that she needed to clear out a pew from the church. In fact, as I sat there, I watched as Secret Service came into the church, as these visitors, President Richard Nixon and his the First Lady, Patricia Nixon, and all their family, and the former First Lady, Mamie Eisenhower, filled up a pew in our church. And at the instructions of my dad, who said, "I want you boys to come out after I give the benediction," Secret Service had blocked off the entrance of the church, but being only 7 and a half years old and much smaller than I am now, I wriggled my way through underneath the Secret Service agents to walk out to the front, stood slightly behind my dad, who didn't even see me. But I looked in awe, not only at the president and his wife who were standing there talking to my parents, but what looked like the entire town of Thurmont had come out and lined the opposite side of North Church Street. Now remember, this is before the day, long before the days of social media. And that quickly, word had gotten out of this celebrity, the president of the United States, who had come to worship with us. And of course we know the celebrity status of President Richard Nixon, who had been elected pretty much in a landslide and a promise that he would pull us out of the quagmire Vietnam War, soon came to an end with the scandal of Watergate and his eventual resignation from office just a few short years later. His celebrity status faded quickly. But as I remember that, as I had opportunity to shake the hand of the president, and yes, a White House reporter captured that moment. I still have a photograph of that today. While his celebrity status faded, I think about how not only the town of Thurmont, but with any person of that status, of celebrity status, how people will flock and are drawn to that individual. And why is that? Why is it that our culture is so wrapped up, the popular culture so wrapped up in what I would call the cult of the celebrity? Well, I believe it's because we all, every single one of us, are hungry. We are hungry for something beyond ourselves. We are hungry to commune with the transcendent other. But in terms of the cult of the celebrity, it is a hungry world, a spiritually hungry world, that is seeking something within the created rather than the creator. Another way of saying it is they are searching after counterfeits. They are searching after the flesh, according to the flesh, rather than according to the Spirit. In the opening of our gospel lesson this morning from the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, we see a little bit of this happening in Jesus' ministry, in the feeding of the 5,000. He has come across the Sea of Galilee, and there's a great multitude that begins to throng him because they hear, not unlike the people of Thermont 50 years ago who heard that the president was coming, they heard that this man who healed people of their sicknesses and diseases was coming. And so they flocked, they thronged. 5,000, about 5,000 men. So not counting the women and children, it was probably well over 10,000 people that had come. Jesus was probably the closest thing to a rock star in that day. But many were living according to the flesh. They wanted to be healed of physical infirmities, not recognizing the brokenness of their own souls, the need for forgiveness, the need for reconciliation with God. They came according to the flesh, many of them, and not according to the Spirit. But Jesus, recognizing that they had been out there with him all day, knowing that they needed to be fed, begins to ask, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said that, according to the Gospel of St. John, in order to test them. And it was Philip who responded, 200 denarii, that is, 200 days' wages would not be sufficient to even buy just a little bit for everyone. But one of his disciples, it says in verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" 5 barley loaves. Barley, which is an inferior form of flour. It was the flour used by the poor, by the common people. And not 2 large fish, but just 2 small fish. What are they among so many? And yet it was this young boy who offered what he had, his 5 barley loaves and his 2 fishes, probably the meal for his whole family for that day. He gave it to the Lord in order that it might be multiplied, in order that according to the flesh, their bodily hunger may be satisfied, their physical nourishment may be satisfied. In fact, we know that in this passage really portends the institution of the Eucharist that Jesus actually did in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion, and whereby he offers those loaves and fishes up, and blessing them, he gives them to his disciples who distribute. And they filled 12 baskets, even after everyone had eaten. Well, I'm sure that Jesus did not disappoint anyone who was there. But the reality is that even though they ate till they were satiated, those people soon got hungry again, probably only in a few hours. Many of them living according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. One of the things that St. John does in putting together his gospel, the chronological order does not always follow in the same way that the synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, follow. But rather, he pieces his account of Jesus' ministry in a way which tends to highlight theological significances. And I believe that this is one of the occasions when he does this, where he opens it up, this chapter 6, with the feeding of the 5,000. But then he brings his disciples to a place whereby they need to live according to the Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says to them well on into the chapter in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the world. And he goes on to say, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I am him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, for many of our Protestant brethren who are non-sacramentalists, who read this, there is the suggestion that Jesus was only speaking metaphorically. But that's very hard to reckon when we go on to read the reaction and the response. In verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Because Jesus was speaking in literal terms. Eucharistic terms, of course. But he was speaking very literally. And in verse 66, this is the response. Because the rock star celebrity appeal suddenly faded from many of his followers. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Just as supporters of Richard Milhouse Nixon fell away in droves after the Watergate scandal, just as what happens to many other celebrities when they are embroiled in scandal, people living according to the flesh, seeking a fleshly scratch of their itch and seeking communion with something outside and above themselves, will suddenly become disenchanted. You see, Christ has called us to live according to the Spirit, to eat the bread of heaven, his body, to drink his flesh. And when Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Only those who were living according to the Spirit, who recognized who Jesus really was. This wasn't a man that dispensed favors, healed those, satisfied particular needs, and then went on about their way unchanged in life. But rather, these were men who were committed and walking according to the Spirit as the Holy Spirit had revealed to them. I believe that this chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John gives us the difference between those who live according to the flesh and those according to the Spirit. I want to just read you and remind you briefly what St. Paul wrote in Galatians 4 from our epistle lesson this morning, beginning in verse 28 of Galatians 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We have been called to a new covenant, not a covenant under the law in which we live according to the flesh, but a covenant in the Spirit, sustained by the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the encounter that we have. We come to our Lord seeking communion. We are hungry. But our relationship with him is not about simply, Lord, fix my family. Lord, help me in my job. Help me in my school. And listing out all of our petitions. But rather, it is first in coming to give. To give of ourselves as that young boy who gave everything that he had, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and allowing Christ to abundantly multiply. This is the life according to the Spirit, a life in the promises of God in Christ, who fulfills our every need. Let us remember this as we in this Lenten season, in our exercises, are prompted to live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.